Blog Talk Radio.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hit 'em high, hit 'em high, hit 'em high. Can you hit 'em low, hit 'em low, hit 'em low?
I'm going straight to the hole. You ain't got no game. I'm breaking you out the frame, coming through like a train. Looking to take over the whole world is my goal. With my unstoppable crew taking all control. You can't get none of this. We're running this. Well, take a first shaker, 3-point gun in this. Get out the lane, I'm coming through, and if you don't wanna move, I'm coming right through you.
It's like inch by inch and step by step, I'm closing in on your position, and destruction is my mission. No, 8 is not enough, your whole squad better duck. It's like Swiss when I bust, now your whole crew is dust. Coming through my area, I'ma have to bury you. The real scream team on your screen scene. It's like showdown under Rago, tell me who won a tango. With together with Stock, a neighborhood superhero.
We want it all,
to score to win the game. Came to bring the ultimate pain upon the brain, untamed. You will like it when I change into a type strange. Make low maniacal, monster in the game. And I got my eye on you, dead shot aim. And free throws keep coming down like rain. You feeling me, I'm feeling you, the monster gang. I'm telling you, pass me the rock, now I'm headed to the basket. Get up on my way, it's what you better do. My tactics is unsportsmanlike conduct, you better ask it. Don't get no better than this. You catch my drift, you get stripped by ball handlers, ruled by swag hammer. Danger, you dealing with official hoop bangers. With hang time, like a coat hanger. Jump with thunderous 360 degree tight jumps. What up, Doc? The monster funk. Lightning strikes, the court lights get dim. Supreme competition is about to begin. Up off the rim, finessing it, moves is animated. Once I get the ball in, I can't be deflated. A rugged paw, my monsters is getting money. With clicks, get the bugging, I'm snatching up their bunnies. Every step I take shakes the ground. I make you break your ankle, son, shake you down. This is my planet, about business, the best that ever done it. Can I get a witness? A cumulus cloud brings darkness up above. You in it for the money or in it for the love, MJ? 23 ways to make a pay. Lounging in the mothership back around my way. A 28 light years old. If the rap get political, dribble like Bob Dole. Am I getting lyrical? Daddy, I think so. Monster, top of flavor, fluid, no 20 flow.
Installment of the Rocket Sports Breakdown. We are here live on Blog Talk, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Rocket is here with you. We got a big show tonight. As you know, the NFL plans to release the official 2014 regular season schedule. That's going to be coming up in the next hour. You can actually check that out on ESPN2 while you're listening to this show, of course. It's big. I'm looking forward to it. I pretty much know, well, we all pretty much know who's going to be playing who, but the question is when. who's going to be playing on Monday night, who's going to be playing on Sunday night, who's going to be playing on Thursdays, now that CBS will be broadcasting Thursday games alongside with the NFL Network. So that's something to look forward to. We also got some coverage of the NBA playoffs last night. We had some good games that took place. Tonight it continues. The NHL playoffs is happening. We got MLB to update with you. It's going to be another big show. It's going to be another big show. And I'm happy. I'm very happy that that time is just coming. It's on our way. It's almost happening. It's going to be big. This is what we love doing. You know, if you're a sports fan, this is what you appreciate. This is what you enjoy the most. But like usual, we like to start off the show, you know, send a few birthday shout-outs out there. And we have a few, actually. And both of these two guys, they got the same last name. They both played on the same team together for a long time. And they were like my favorite 1-2 punch in terms of hitters. So I like to start off by saying happy birthday to former Braves third baseman Chipper Jones. Played 19 years with the Atlanta Braves. Also played shortstop. Spent most of his career as a starting third baseman. And then he also played a little left field as well. So he's been a versatile player throughout his time. He turns 42 today, and he looks like he could play another year. I'm kind of disappointed that his last game was such a very controversial one, but nonetheless, you can't deny what this man has done. He's an 8-time All-Star. He won the World Series in 1995. He was the National League MVP in 1999, and he was a 2-time Silver Slugger Award winner, and he was the NL Batting Champion in 2008, and his number 10 has been retired by the Braves, and rightfully so. His career, 2,726 hits, 468 home runs, 1,623 runs batted in, with a .303 career batting average. I talk about that last game that he participated in because it was such a controversial game. It was just kind of a bad situation. It was actually the 2012 National League Wild Card game between the Braves and the Cardinals. The Braves lost 6-3 at home, and it was just such a controversial situation. Basically, what happened was, in the bottom of the eighth inning, a guy named Andrelton Simmons hit a fly ball to left field that dropped in between Cardinals shortstop Pete Cosma and left center Matt Holliday. Now, the left field umpire, Sam Holbrook, he caught Simmons outside in the infield, the fly rule, you know, whatever you want to call that. Now, had an infield fly not been caught, Simmons would have been credited with a single, and Atlanta would have had the bases loaded with one out, trailing 6-3, which ended up being the final score of the game. Fans were just going crazy. They threw litter and debris on the field, you know, which was about a 20-minute delay before a message over the Turner Field public address system advised fans the game was subject to forfeiture by the umpires if the field continued to remain unplayable due to thrown garbage. So Atlanta manager Freddy Gonzalez announced that the team would play the rest of the game under protest. That protest was denied shortly after the game by Joe Torre, the MLB Executive Vice President for Baseball Operations, saying that it was a judgment call which cannot be protested under MLB rules and confirming the call's correctness. So the questionable judgment call followed other questionable umpiring that went against the Atlanta Braves in the playoffs. So all in all, it was one of the more controversial games I have witnessed over the years, and I wish it hadn't turned out to be that way. But nonetheless, Chipper Jones retired with a phenomenal career. He's done some phenomenal things for the game of baseball. I couldn't be happier for him. And who knows, maybe he'll get into broadcasting. Maybe he'll become a manager one day. Maybe he'll become a coach, a trainer, or something. And it's nice to see a baseball player go out and remain clean. You know what I mean when I say that. So happy birthday. Happy 42nd birthday to Chipper Jones and many more happy returns. Happy 37th birthday to Andrew Jones, who also played the Atlanta Braves. He spent most of his career with the Braves from 96 to 2007. Played 1 year with the Dodgers, 1 year with the Rangers, 1 year with the White Sox, and retired as a New York Yankee in 2012. He's been a phenomenal complementary player to Chipper Jones, especially going back to the 90s when the Braves were like a real serious contender. They were winning a World Series. They were competing in World Series. They were competing in the playoffs. He's a 5-time All-Star, 10-time Gold Glove Award winner. He led the MLB in home runs in 2005, also led the National League in RBIs. He was the Silver Slugger Award winner that year, and also won the Hank Aaron Award winner. It was a phenomenal year for the guy. He also won the Babe Ruth Home Run Award record. He joined the 50 Home Run Club. He also is a 2-time World Baseball Classic selection in 2006 and 2013. Went over to Japan the last year and became a champion in the Japan Baseball League. So this guy has done some phenomenal things. He finished his career with 1,933 hits, 434 home runs, 1,289 runs batted in, 152 stolen bases, and a career batting average of .254. Those two guys, Chipper Jones and Andrew Jones, were so much fun to watch back in those days. Oh, man, if you're a baseball fan, if you're a Braves fan, you just enjoy watching those guys. They were just phenomenal to watch. I really enjoyed growing up being a Braves fan, but not just being a Tigers fan, but also being a Braves fan. And Chipper Jones is my favorite player of all time. And so to see him do what he's done, it was just phenomenal. I was happy for him. I'm happy that he spent much of his career as a winner, as well as Andrew Jones. He's done some great things. And these guys can go down as two of the best. Both of them will be Hall of Famers if you ask me, especially Chipper Jones. Chipper Jones has already made it. Hopefully Andrew Jones will get that same accolation. We're going to take our first quick break of the evening. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about this 2014 NFL schedule. We got some coverage in baseball. We got NBA playoffs in session as well as the NHL playoffs in session. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown here on blogtalkradio.com. And like usual, we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. We're almost approaching the 7:30 time period. We're on air till 9 p.m. and we are taking calls all night. 347-327-9586. And, of course, you're more than welcome to talk about the 2014 upcoming NFL schedule. But getting into some scores real quick, and speaking of baseball, picking up where we left off. Earlier today, speaking of those Atlanta Braves, they took care of business, beating the Miami Marlins at home 3-1. David Carpenter got his first win of the season. Craig Kimbrell got his sixth save of the year. The Texas Rangers went to Oakland and defeated them 3-0. Martin Perez, he's now 4-0. Sonny Gray, who's been a phenomenal upcoming young pitcher, got his first loss of the season. He now drops to 3-1. The Houston Astros lose at home to Seattle 5-3. Seattle picking, trying to get back to their winning ways a little bit after being swept by those Miami Marlins earlier this week. They win the score 5-3. Fernando Rodney gets his first win of the season. He's now 1-1, which is actually kind of interesting, you know, for a guy of his caliber. He's one of those pitchers that doesn't get a lot of wins, but he will do some phenomenal things. Seattle actually was down 3-0 in the bottom of the seventh inning before Kyle Seager recorded the first of his two home runs in this game. He hit one in the bottom of the seventh and one in the bottom of the ninth, which actually turned out to be the game winner. The game was tied at 3 going into the ninth inning when Seager hit the second of his two home runs, which allowed him, Robinson Cano, and Michael Saunders to score. And the Seahawks win the game. They're now 8-13 in the season. The Arizona Diamondbacks defeated the Chicago Cubs 7-5 on a day where they're celebrating 100 years at Wrigley Field. I think that's actually pretty cool. Wrigley Field, say what you want about the Chicago Cubs not winning a championship since the since the 1930s, but there's been some phenomenal things that have taken place, and I was just actually watching on SportsCenter a short time ago some of the top 10 moments at Wrigley Field, and of course they would put number one with the whole Steve Bartman thing, and you know, that was just kind of messed up. I thought that was kind of bad. You want to put top 10 moments on the team for the Chicago Cubs, not for an opposing team, you know. And if you watch that play, really, if you're Steve Bartman, yeah, you should ban yourself from going to Chicago Cubs games. I don't know if he ever stopped going or not, but, yeah, that's pretty messed up on his part, though, you know. But if you watch that play, if you watch that game, and that was 11 years ago. If you watch that play, basically, well, if you watch that game, basically the Cubs fans were just, they pretty much put the blame on themselves. And they should, I remember reading up on it, you know, some of the Cubs players and coaches talked about how, you know, they ended up losing the game, not necessarily that play that caused it. Mark Pryor at the time, he basically said, you know, we had a chance to get out of that situation. I hung an 0-2 curveball to Ivan Rodriguez that he hit for a single. This was against the Florida Marlins at the time. Alex Gonzalez, who was a sure thing almost at short, the ball came up on him and things just snowballed. Everybody in the clubhouse management knows that play is not the reason we lost the game. So, but you could just imagine how bad that was. So, but a lot of people, including Bud Selig, the baseball commissioner, coming to his defense, former Cubs pitcher Rick Sutcliffe, you know, most of the players really, really came to his defense. So, but that was still a bad situation, just a bad, bad situation. It's something that you never really want to see, unfortunately. But anyway, today the Chicago Cubs lose 7-5, and you know, they'll try and pick back up again tomorrow. Also, we had earlier today, actually right now, we got some games that are currently in progress, a lot of them. We got the other Chicago team, the White Sox. They're up 2-0 on the Tigers. They got 2 runs and 3 hits right now in the bottom of the first inning, so that game actually just got started. Kansas City Royals and Cleveland Indians are scoreless after one inning. Both teams have recorded one hit each. Cincinnati and Pittsburgh are both also scoreless right now in the bottom of the first inning, though. Pittsburgh has 2 runners on and 2 outs, so we'll see what they do with that. The Yankees are down 1-0 to Boston. obviously. I'm kidding. That game's in the bottom of the first inning. You can also watch that game currently airing on ESPN. Minnesota and Tampa Bay are both scoreless in the middle of the first inning. We got Chicago, San Francisco 12-8 on Colorado. That game's at the top of the 11th inning. Looks like the Giants are going to hang on and win that game. 12 runs and 14 hits to Colorado's 8 runs and 13 hits. The LA Angels and Washington Nationals are both scoreless. That game's in the bottom of the first inning. Washington does have a runner on with 2 outs. Baltimore is up 1-0 on Toronto in the top of the second inning. St. Louis is up 1-0 against the New York Mets in the bottom of the first inning. And later tonight coming up, we got San Diego and Milwaukee. That game will take place at 8 p.m. And we got Philadelphia and the L.A. Dodgers at 10 p.m. And we will continue to keep you updated and posted on some of these baseball games. A lot of these scores are going to change, and you will hear a few, much more of it as the show progresses. So stay tuned. Now, of course, we all know what the main talk is, you know, not just with this show, but right now in sports period with the whole NFL situation. The schedules get ready to come out. Lots of fans are really gearing up for this upcoming season. And so I'm happy because this is what I've been waiting for. This is what I've been wanting. This is what I'm looking forward to. And we're going to hear about this upcoming official schedule within the next 30, 35 minutes. So please stay here, hang out with us. We're going to be talking about this a lot tonight. Like I said, I pretty much know a lot of teams. We all know which divisions are going to be facing each other, who's going to be playing who, basically who are each other's opponents for the most part. I just want to know who's going to be the Monday matchups, who's going to be playing each other on Thanksgiving, who's going to be playing each other on Thursday nights, you know, with NFL Network and with CBS. Who's going to be playing each other in the playoffs? Well, actually, we won't know until the playoffs get here, obviously, but... speaking of that particular situation, ESPN will be hosting for the first time ever a wild card game this year. A lot of people think, didn't they used to host a wild card game before? No. Bumps breaks. That was back when NFL games used to be broadcasted on ABC with the Monday Night Football format. Back then, the Saturday, they always used to host a Saturday game. Sometimes it would come on at 12, sometimes it would come on at 3 or 4, it depends. I miss those days, man. I miss that format. I'm not down with ESPN hosting Monday Night Football games. I've been on record for that for years. I've always loved it. I liked it when ESPN used to host the Sunday Night games because I love Mike Patrick. No disrespect to Mike Tirico, but I think Mike Patrick was, he was the voice when it came to football on ESPN as far as like the NFL. He was it. And, you know, even though I didn't care too much for Paul McGuire or Joe Theismann, but Mike Patrick was the guy. Phenomenal. He's still calling college football games to this day, so, you know, good for him. Keep up the great work, mister. But I miss those days, man. I miss those days. But we're going to find out more about, you know, the official schedules tonight, and I'm looking forward to it. Now, I already know one of the Thanksgiving games that's going to be taking place is going to be Detroit and Buffalo. Now, every year is different, you know, as far as like the Thanksgiving opponents. You don't necessarily know who you're going to play. What it is that every other year you're playing a team in the same conference. Like, let's take the Lions, for example, my hometown team. Last year, they played Green Bay on Thanksgiving. That was an NFC team, you know, a divisional opponent. This year, they're expected to play AFC team. It's either going to be Miami or Buffalo at home. Buffalo, to me, would seem more fitting because you got Jim Schwartz, who's the defensive coordinator of the Bills. He's coming back home to the team where he's been coaching at the previous 40 seasons. Yeah, there's going to be a little bit of bad blood between himself and the fans. I don't think it's going to be necessarily that between him and the players. But I do think that it's going to raise some interest. It's going to cause a lot of local fans here in the state of Michigan to watch that game, me included. So I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be fun. That's going to be awesome to watch. So also, some of the matches I know that's going to take place, we're going to see a rematch of this year's Super Bowl between the Seahawks and Broncos. We're going to see that matchup happen. The question is, would that be the opening game between the Seahawks and Broncos, or would that be a game that takes place later on? Now, if I'm the schedule makers, I will make that the first game of the season. Why not? It just would make perfect sense to do that. You know,
First of all, the game's going to be in Seattle. So it would just make perfect sense to do that. So we're going to see the Broncos take on the Seahawks. We're going to see them take on the 49ers. We're going to see them play the Patriots again. We're going to see the Packers and Patriots play each other this year, meaning for the first time we're going to see Tom Brady go one-on-one with Aaron Rodgers. That matchup happened between those two teams back in 2010, but Aaron Rodgers was injured the week before in Detroit, suffered a concussion, and missed that game. Matt Flynn came in and almost led a victory. The Patriots won that game 31-27. And one of the moments I remember from that game was the big guy on special teams who almost ran a kickoff back for a touchdown. It was awesome. At Gillette Stadium, that was awesome. I was like, oh, my goodness. He might actually do it. And he almost did. He almost did. He got a lot of yardage out of that play, though. That was awesome. That was awesome to see. So I pretty much know, and I think we all know who's going to be facing. So I'm looking forward to watching. I'm looking forward to watching. Now, if you want to look at the opponent set for 2014 NFL season, I'm taking a look right now. Let's look at the Seahawks real quick and see who they're going to be facing. Basically, what's going to happen is they're going to be playing, you know, besides the divisional foes at home and on the road. They got home games against teams like the Cowboys, Giants, Green Bay, Denver, Oakland. And then on the road, they're going to be facing Carolina again, much like they did in last year's regular season opener. At Kansas City, that's going to be an interesting game. At Washington, those two teams will face off against each other for the first time since their wild card matchup two seasons ago. We're also going to see them take on the Philadelphia Eagles, and that's going to be an interesting game. That should have been a playoff matchup last year. But the Saints went on ahead and changed things up a little bit for us. Speaking of the Saints, I'm just looking at random teams right now. The Saints, they got games against, you know, San Francisco again. They're going to be facing Baltimore, Cincinnati. The Saints have lost two straight to Baltimore. They're going to be facing Green Bay again. They're going to be facing Minnesota. Then they got road games against Chicago, Detroit, at Pittsburgh, at Dallas. You can rest assured Dallas is going to be looking for some revenge against the Saints. And speaking of those Cowboys, since everyone loves talking about them so much, they got games against San Francisco, New Orleans, Houston, Indianapolis, at Seattle on the road, like we already talked about, Jacksonville, Chicago, Tennessee. So, game on. Game on. Game on. And you can check out the NFL Network. Check in the news section. You're looking for opponents set for 2014 NFL season, so you know who's going to be playing who exactly. I'm just looking forward to seeing when these teams are going to play. Well, we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we got some NBA playoff games that we need to talk about a little bit, some NHL playoff games that are in session. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. We're just after 7:30, almost approaching the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to get into some NBA playoffs real quickly. Coverage. Right now we got one game currently in session. That is the Miami Heat up 29-19 on the Charlotte Bobcats. The first quarter of that game just ended. And Miami Heat are up 1-0 and looking to move 2-0. They might end up winning the series in 5 games. I'll give Charlotte at least 1 game because I think Charlotte's got some talent with some of the young players they got with the Kemba Walkers, guys like Al Jefferson, Michael Kidd Gilchrist, Gerald Henderson, Gary Neal. They got some talent on that team. And they're too talented to be swept, but you never know. You never know how these playoffs are going to unfold. That's what makes the NBA playoffs what it is. You never know who's going to be who. I got to say, this has been a more unexpected postseason because some of these matchups I'm looking at and I'm thinking, unbelievable. Now, later on tonight, we got coming up, we got Dallas and San Antonio. That game will be on NBA TV. The Spurs are looking to move up 2-0 in that series. And then at 9:30 p.m., we got Portland against Houston. Portland unexpectedly pulled off a shotgun game one. If Houston loses tonight, it's a wrap. Because, first of all, you don't know too many teams that can be down 0-2 and they come back and make the playoffs. If anyone can relate to this, it's the Houston Rockets. Go back to the playoffs. I think it was 2005, first round against Dallas. Houston won games 1 and 2 on the road. Then Dallas ended up winning all the games in Houston. Came down to game 7, and Dallas ended up winning. And it was one of the best playoff matches I had ever watched. I remember watching just about every single game and was just stunned. Was just stunned the way that particular series turned out. It was a battle going back and forth. It was so much fun. I remember Dallas was the number one. They were the number 4 seed and Houston was number 5. The Rockets won both games. Tracy McGrady was putting up big numbers. Dirk Nowitzki was putting up big numbers. Yao Ming was putting up big numbers. And games 3 and 4, Dallas returned the favor, winning in Houston, winning both of those games. Close games too, by the way. A lot of those games were close. In game 5, Dallas was the first home team to win in that series. And then Houston took care of business in game 6 and it came down in game 7. And it wasn't even close. Dallas ended up annihilating them by 40. Tracy McGrady did not really have a good game. It was just a phenomenal matchup, though. It was just a phenomenal, phenomenal matchup. So, if you're Houston, though, you don't really want to be down 0-2. You want to win tonight. I think they'll bounce back and win because they're going to have to. They're going to have some resurgence and some resiliency in order to win this game. Because I think this series will go 6 or 7 games. Possibly 7 games. You never know. It's going to be the most entertaining because of just the offenses between those two teams. So that's what's going to make it so intriguing the rest of the way, as far as like in the Western Conference. And last night we had 3 playoff matches that all took place in the Eastern Conference. One of those matchups was the Washington Wizards, who took care of business and defeated the Chicago Bulls by a score of 101-99 in overtime. It was a great game if you got a chance to watch it. Fortunately for me, I was performing last night, so I didn't get a chance to watch this game, but I did keep track of the score a little bit. Washington is up 2-0 in this series, and Bradley Beal is playing phenomenal. He's one of those young, talented guards that not too many people are talking about, but he is a good commodity. Now, he went 9-for-20 shooting last night, but he did make 4-7 three-point attempts. He made most of his free throws. He had 7 rebounds. Played some good defense down the stretch. He was doing some good things for this team. John Wall had 16 points. Nene Hilario had 17. And Martell Webster added 10 off the bench. The Wizards shot 47.5% in this game. So that helped. Neither team really was hitting their three-pointers. So it was kind of like a... almost like one of those maybe seesaw battles a little bit, but three pointers really didn't determine the series, though. I think the fact that Washington just had some good offense down the stretch, they was just making certain shots as far as like inside, getting those 10 to 15 foot jumpers. They were doing a lot of that. Now, for Chicago, they had four players double figures. DJ Augustin had 25. Taj Gibson had 22. Both of those guys came off the bench. Joakim Noah had 20 points to go with 12 rebounds. Gibson added 10 rebounds of his own, and Kurt Heinrich added 12. But I think that with Chicago, their offense is just struggling because they don't have their roles. They don't have a Luol Deng anymore, who they traded. They don't have a Greg Smith. They don't have Ronnie Brewer. They don't have Lewis Ottmanson, guys who are good offensive players, by the way. Those guys are not playing. They're not on the playoff roster right now, really. So, unfortunately, you got to go with what you got. Carlos Boozer struggled last night. He only scored 5 points on 2 of 6 shooting. Jimmy Butler only scored 6 points on 2 of 9 shooting, 0 for 3 from the three-point line. And he played the most minutes out of everybody on the Bulls roster. He played 53 minutes, and he struggled. He absolutely flat-out struggled. And you don't want that. Jimmy Butler is really supposed to be their scoring machine, and he hasn't really been producing. So you're Chicago. You're down 2-0. You got to go to Washington for Game 3 and 4. Game 4, 3 will be Friday, this upcoming Friday, 8 p.m. on ESPN. Game 4 will be 1 o'clock next Sunday on ABC. And if there is a Game 5, assuming that there will be, it'll be next Tuesday. I think Washington might end up closing this out. Unless Chicago finds a way to get after Bradley Beal and John Wall and keep those guys from scoring, they're going to be in big trouble. They're going to be in big trouble. And even Trevor Ariza, he struggled a little bit last night too for Washington, but he did make some plays down the stretch. He did do some things. But if you're Chicago, you got to get some offense going by any means necessary. If you're supposed to have arguably the best defense in the Eastern Conference, you got to showcase it. And Chicago had opportunities to win this game. Major opportunities. They just couldn't hold on to the lead when they were supposed to. And they were down 31-20 after the first quarter. They came back and tried to make some things happen. But Washington made some plays in the fourth quarter. Chicago came back a little bit, got overtime, and then, you know, the Wizards hung on to win by 2 points. So games 3 and 4, Friday and Sunday, ESPN, but game 3, ABC, game 4, check your local time listings. And if you're a Chicago fan, it's time to panic. Definitely. It's definitely time to panic. Another game that took place last night between the Brooklyn Nets and the Toronto Raptors. Toronto tied up the series last night by winning 100-95. And I thought this was an opportunity for Brooklyn to really put the foot down, really put the stamp down. To take a commanding 2-0 series lead. That turned out to not be such the case. But give credit to Toronto. They got some young, phenomenal talent. Some very young, phenomenal talent. They had 6 players in double figures last night. DeMar DeRozan led the way with 30. Amir Johnson had 16. Jonas Valanciunas, I don't even know if I pronounced his last name right, he had 15. Kyle Lowry had 14. He played exceptionally well. Gravis Vasquez had 11. Patrick Patterson had 12. And even though Terrence Ross struggled, 2 points on 1 of 8 shooting, 0 for 5 from 3-point range, everybody else really stepped up their game big time. That was a total team effort. For Brooklyn, just got to go back to the drawing board. They had 5 players in double figures. You know, Joe Johnson led them with 18 points. But Paul Pierce struggling is not a good thing. He had 7 points on just 2 of 11 shooting. He was open 6 from 3-point range. Darren Williams scored 15, but he struggled on 5 of 15 shooting, 2 of 6 from the 3-point line. Brooklyn only made 7 of 24 3-pointers last night. Toronto only made 2 of 16. But they made the plays. First of all, they had 52 rebounds to Brooklyn's 30. You're going to win a lot of games when you out-rebound somebody by that margin. Even though they had more turnovers than Brooklyn, they just found a way to get it done. They shot 47.4% from the field. They made most of their free throws. They were just really doing it. And DeMar DeRozan was a scoring sensation last night. He's another one of those young upcoming guards that not too many people talk about. But they will. They will be. They're going to be talking about him a whole lot more. I can almost guarantee that. Now, if you're Brooklyn, come back. Got game five. You got game three on Friday, 7 o'clock on ESPN2. Game four, Sunday on TNT. You got plenty of time to right the ship. Plenty of time to right the ship. So, this is not over. This is not over. This is not over. I expect Brooklyn to win this series in five games. I had them winning in six, but I think they're going to win it in five because they realize, hey, this team is not to be taken lightly. They might have taken Toronto a little bit lightly after game one when they took the victory, but you got to put your foot down when you have an opportunity. And Brooklyn had plenty of opportunities in this game. Plenty of opportunities. So with that being said, got to put your foot down. Come back with some resurgence and, you know, let them know, hey, we got to win. The window is closing on some of these guys. Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Joe Johnson a little bit. The window's starting to close on him a little bit. Darren Williams, he's not quite there yet, but, you know, he's still going to be around for a while. But, you know, the window's closing. If you're Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, this is one of your last opportunities to advance deep into the playoffs to make another championship run. It starts here. It starts here. Game five will also be next Wednesday to be announced. We don't know when that's going to take place or what station or what time. And if there is a game six, that'll be next Friday, May the 2nd, in Brooklyn. And we'll see what happens there. Another game that took place last night was the game that a lot of people were really anticipating between the Hawks and the Pacers. The Pacers responded well for the most part. They won 101-85, playing like the Pacers team we saw the first two or three months of the season. That was the team that we saw. We said, okay, yeah, this is what we expected from them. This is what we expected from them. And so, even though they got off to a slow start, the Pacers responded well, especially in the second half. They outscored Atlanta 31-13 in the third quarter. They pretty much took control and took command the rest of the way. But they still got to figure out what to do against Jeff Teague. Now, Jeff Teague only scored 14 points in this game last night, but he was getting off to a solid start down the stretch. But it was mainly Paul Millsap that was leading Atlanta with scoring. He finished with 19 points. He played well. So if you're a guy like Roy Hibbert, David West, you got to figure out these guys real quick. Paul George led the way with 27 points. Luis Scola came off the bench and scored 20. He's going to have to be a major key factor, if you ask me. He's going to have to be that X factor because nobody's really talking about him. You got Paul George, you got David West, you got Lance Stephenson, George Hill, guys that can score. Roy Hibbert, he can do a little bit of scoring. He struggled last night, too, going 1-for-7 with just 6 points. I think because the way that Atlanta plays, they like to play on the perimeter. They like to set up a lot of outside shots. I mean, that's taking Roy Hibbert away from the basket. That's also going to allow point guards and forwards to drive to the basket and try and get easy opportunities. By keeping Roy Hibbert on the perimeter, you don't have to worry about that shot-blocking threat. That being said, Roy Hibbert is going to have to be more of a menace, a straight-up menace inside the paint, inside the lane. You know, send Atlanta a message. You don't want them to get easy baskets against you. Because I can tell you, games 3 and 4 down there are going to be ridiculous. It's going to be tough. It's going to be extremely tough. But the Pacers played down the stretch the way we expected them to play, the way that they had been playing the first 2 or 3 months of the season. And so by guys like Luis Scola coming off the bench, putting up big numbers in terms of scoring, Paul George doing what he normally does, George Hill had 15 points, C.J. Watson had 10, you know, it's about that balance. It's about that balance. And they're going to need more of that if they expect it to come out of this series. Now, game 3 will take place tomorrow night, 7 o'clock p.m. on NBA TV. Game 4 will take place this Saturday at 2 o'clock p.m. on TNT. Game 5 will be next Monday back on NBA TV at 8 o'clock p.m. And if there is a Game 6, it'll take place next Thursday in Atlanta. Times have yet to be announced. So stay tuned, because this is going to be an interesting matchup, I really think. But I expect Indiana to come out. I got them winning in 6 games. If they win it in 5, that'll be even better. And so, that'd be interesting. That would definitely be interesting. Definitely be interesting to see. So, we got these games that are going on. Just a quick update. In the second quarter, Miami is up 36-23 on Charlotte. Looks like they are pretty much going to cruise through this one tonight, and possibly cruise most likely through this series. Now, tomorrow night, we got, again, we got Indiana and Atlanta, 7 o'clock on NBA TV. At 8 o'clock, we got OKC in Memphis. OKC will look to rebound after losing a tough game, too, in which Kevin Durant had a phenomenal four-point play, but it wasn't enough. Memphis held on and won the game. It was a seesaw battle down the stretch. It was a fun game to watch in Game 2. Game 3 will take place tomorrow night, 8 o'clock on TNT. And at 10:30, we got Game 3 between the Clippers and Golden State. That game will be the second of the TNT doubleheader. And I'm looking forward to all those games. I'm actually going to try and watch these games tomorrow. Well, I'll try and catch that Clipper-Golden State game. I'll be out performing at Live Tracks, and you'll hear more about that at the end of our show. So let's get it. Let's get it. Let's go back to this Pacers-Atlanta game. There were some issues. And down the stretch, there's been some issues with the Pacers team in terms of team chemistry. Roy Hibbert was calling out guys, you know. David West was saying some things. You know, Paul George was trying to stay focused and stuff like that. Earlier today, during team practice, Lance Stephenson and Evan Turner kind of had a little altercation before game one. Actually, this was before game one. I'm sorry. According to reports, yes, those two guys had scrapped during the practice before game one against Atlanta. They didn't throw any punches, but it seems like everything is okay. And this is, again, what we were talking about, you know, team chemistry. Stephenson basically denied it. He called it just a little bit of a scuffle, so he basically didn't. He just basically threw it out the window. According to Evan Turner and Frank Vogel, both guys got tangled up. Paul George called it two guys bumping heads. And Yahoo Sports actually reported the incident and the encounter with fists being thrown. So whatever went down, it seems like it's been settled for now because the team won last night. It could have been a whole lot worse if they lost and this report was put out there, you know, and team chemistry would have been questioned on this team. So, and unfortunately, you know, that's something that happens a lot in sports, you know, when you're a high-profile team, your team, you know, some are picking to come out of your conference to go to the finals, and you're struggling down the stretch. Indiana finished 23-19 down the stretch in the regular season after getting off to a 33-7 start. They struggled down the stretch, but they can turn this around soon. Now they tied 1-1. They're going to Atlanta tomorrow night. They can work through this. So, but there is a little bit of some drama, you know, between some of the players. Frank Vogel, it's possible, you know, if the Pacers lose the series, his job will definitely be on the line if it isn't already. So, yeah, you can call it as you see it. Chemistry, lack of chemistry right now. If you're the Pacers, you want to get it together real quick because Atlanta is coming for you. Yes, you won last night, but you had to climb out of a hole last night because you were down at the start of the game. Don't underestimate these teams. Don't underestimate the Hawks because they know the formula to beat you. They know what they have to do. They just have to go out there and do it. And you have to know what to do to beat Atlanta and go out there and execute on that. Bottom line. So hopefully that situation will be resolved. And you know, hopefully everything will be taken care of. Just to get into some NHL playoffs real quickly. Right now we got Pittsburgh and Columbus. Pittsburgh is up 3-1. That game is at the end of the first quarter. Later on tonight, we got Anaheim and Dallas. That game is getting ready to start in a few minutes. And later on at 9:30, we got St. Louis and Chicago. Last night, I'm a little bit disappointed. I didn't see the game, but my Red Wings lost at home to Boston 3-0 in game 3. Boston is back up 2-1. Yeah, I'm a little bit disappointed. San Jose defeated Los Angeles 4-3 in overtime. Yeah, I'm not too happy about that neither. Yeah, I'm really not too happy about that Red Wings game. Like I said, San Jose, they took care of business by beating the LA Kings 4-3 in a thriller overtime game. The guy who provided that game-winning goal was a guy named Patrick Marleau. He scored with 6:20 left in the period. Scott Hanna provided the assist. So with that, San Jose is up 3-0. They have the chance to complete the ship and come out of the first round with a sweep. Tomorrow night, 10:30, these two teams will be playing each other in Los Angeles. You can check out the game. I would if I were you. I think it would be wise if you do that. And so San Jose, though, they look like a team that's going to be reckoned with down the stretch. This is always a team that's dangerous in the postseason. You know, I would know this, definitely. Also, we had last night, and I'm kind of getting lost in this because, you know, you try to keep up with the whole hockey situation. Sometimes you just kind of lose a little focus, just a little focus, you know, just a little bit. Like I said, right now we got Pittsburgh up 3-0. They're up 2-1 in this series. Looks like they're going to cruise and win this one unless Columbus does something miraculous in the final two periods of the game. I say that because it's so hard to score in hockey, especially you could be down by one goal and you're going into the final period, and that's tough. That's really tough to do. So be that as it may, that game is really not over just yet, so we will see what happens. Like I said, Boston is up 2-1 against Detroit after they won last night. Montreal was the first team to win their series. They beat Tampa Bay by a score of 4-3. They've won 4-0. They are moving on to the next round. The New York Rangers won in Philadelphia last night by a score of 4-1. They're up 2-1 in the series now. And, of course, you know, San Jose beat Los Angeles 4-3. They're up 3-0 in that series. So, that being said, right now we got Anaheim and Dallas getting ready to take off, getting ready to go down. Anaheim is up 2-1 in that series. And then later tonight we got St. Louis and Chicago. St. Louis is up 2-1 in that series. Tomorrow night we got Boston and Detroit again. Detroit will look to rebound after a dismal game 3. Colorado will take on against Minnesota. The Avalanche are up 2-1. The last time those two teams met each other in the playoffs was a long time ago. Patrick Wild, when his career came to an end, his final game was against the Minnesota Wild. And San Jose will look to complete the sweep tomorrow against Los Angeles. So things are starting to get a little intense in the playoffs. For both sports, both the NBA and the NHL. And, of course, what do you expect? And that's the way it should be. So we got that going. We got some NFL coverage. Now, right now, on ESPN2 and the NFL Network, the 2014 NFL schedule is in the process of being announced. Certain games are going to be already exposed. Right now, just to give you a quick update, the Broncos and Patriots will take place week 9 on a Sunday afternoon, which will take place on CBS. I thought that game was going to be on, you know, NBC or something, or, you know, something like that. And Pittsburgh and Baltimore will take place in week 2, and we got more coming up with that. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back,
we're going to get right into it. It's that time now. The main event, the 2014 NFL schedule. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back. Back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. A little bit after 8 o'clock, and here we go. Here we go. This is what we've been waiting on. This is the main event here. It's the NFL. The schedule has officially been posted. But before we get to that, as I stated at the top of the show, I did say that I was going to update some games real quickly. Right now, we got Miami. They're up 57-44 against Charlotte. That game is almost at halftime. San Antonio and Dallas, that game just started. The Spurs are jumping up to a quick lead right now. And we got Portland and Houston coming up at 9:30 p.m. tonight on TNT. In the NHL, we got one game already in progress. Pittsburgh is up 3-1 on Columbus. That game's in the second period. The second period just started. And Anaheim and Dallas, the puck just dropped in that game. And that's a must-win for Dallas. They're down 2-1 in the series. And later up tonight, we got St. Louis and Chicago at 9:30. Chicago needs to win. Columbus needs to come back and win if they have any hope of tying up their respective matchups. And in the MLB, we had games that were already in progress earlier. I'm just going to update the ones that are currently in progress right now. Chicago White Sox are up 2-0 against the Tigers in the bottom of the fourth inning. Kansas City and Cleveland are tied at 2. The fourth inning just ended. The Angels are down in Washington 1-0 in the bottom of the fourth inning. Washington's got runners in scoring position. Cincinnati is down 2-1 against Pittsburgh, top of the fourth inning. Baltimore down to Toronto 6-3 in the top of the fourth inning. St. Louis is up 1-0 against the New York Mets. That game's in the middle of the fourth inning. Tampa Bay up 2-0 at home over Minnesota in the bottom of the third. And San Diego and Milwaukee are both scoreless in the top of the first. And that game just started. But San Diego does have a runner in scoring position. And the Yankees are down 2-0 to Boston in the bottom of the third inning. Something actually just went down in this game. Trying to see if I could pull it up real fast. Something just happened. I think someone had just gotten ejected in this game. I mean, what's not to know about somebody getting ejected in a game between the Yankees and Red Sox? It happens almost all the time. It seems like one of the players from the New York Yankees got ejected for the usage of tar, some sort of tar or something like that. To find out more about that, you can go to ESPN.com. You can check out YahooSports.com to find out more about that particular situation. Yeah, that sounds like an issue, a major problem. But here we go. This is it right here. And we are taking calls. So if you want to call in, please call in at 347-327-9586. Schedule has officially been put out. And the first game that will take place in the 2014 NFL season, drum roll, please. No, I'm just kidding. The Packers and the Seahawks. We knew the Seahawks was going to open up at home to start off the season, but the question was going to be who's going to be the opponent. And it's going to be the team that the last time they played each other, that game ended up on some serious controversy. We all know what happened in that Monday night game 2 years ago between the Packers and Seahawks. Do I need to remind you? No, because you should already know what happened between those two teams. But we're going to see a rematch Thursday, September the 4th. Mark that down on your calendar. Thursday, September the 4th, 8:30 p.m. on NBC. Packers and Seahawks to kick off the 2014 NFL season. And I'm looking forward to it. It should be a good one. It's going to be a great one. And right now, we're going to take a look at week one's matchups, the Sunday games. 1 o'clock. The following games will be on CBS, all right? Here we freaking go, all right? I'm just going to announce the games that are going to be taking place on CBS, all right? We got Cleveland at Pittsburgh, Jacksonville at Philadelphia, meaning we're going to see Darren Sproles make his official debut for the Eagles in the Eagles uniform. Raiders at the Jets, and who knows, it could be either Michael Vick or Geno Smith starting. Who knows? We don't really officially know who's going to be starting. I really have no idea. I'm just about as intrigued about it as you are. Cincinnati at Baltimore. When these two teams played each other in week 17 last year, it was a dramatic finish. Cincinnati won the game in overtime. A.J. Green was making some plays down the stretch. The Bengals got into the playoffs, and the Ravens were officially eliminated. Tennessee at Kansas City. These two teams faced each other last year at the time when the Chiefs were still undefeated. I actually thought for sure that Tennessee was going to pull off the upset because they got off to a 3-1 start. The defense was playing tremendous, but Kansas City came in and kind of ran them over a little bit. New England at Miami. These two teams faced each other in the second divisional matchup. Actually, both of these matchups had some controversial endings to the game. But nonetheless, it's a divisional matchup. I'm looking forward to watching that. It's going to be a good one. And if you're a Patriots fan, you haven't forgotten what happened in Miami last season. The following games at 1 o'clock will take place on Fox. New Orleans and Atlanta. You know, between the Falcons and Saints, it's always going to be some good games. It's always going to be a slugfest, especially offensively between these two teams. I'm kind of interested to see what the Falcons are going to look like after playing so bad last year, especially with the guys that they had injured on offense. Julio Jones was banged up throughout much of the year. Roddy White was banged up throughout much of the year. Tony Gonzalez is no longer going to be there. Steven Jackson, will he be what Atlanta was looking for when they brought him in as a free agent last year? That remains to be seen because I don't think he showed a lot last year. You know, he was often beat up too. Atlanta's offense really took a hit, and they struggled to score points down the stretch. But it's a new season. They're going to have a new team a little bit, and they're going to be taking the field against their number one arch rival. Vikings and the Rams. This is a game where both teams are still trying to find their identity, especially at the quarterback position. Sam Bradford is most likely still going to be the guy. He's entering what would be his fourth season. Actually, this will be his fifth season, I'm sorry. And the question marks are still being raised. Can this guy stay healthy? Can he be the guy? Can he lead St. Louis to the postseason, because that's what they brought him in for and beyond. Can he do that? Can he be that guy? So I think a lot of us are still wondering that. A lot of us are still wondering that. So that being said, this is going to be one of those intriguing matches that not too many people are going to be talking about to start off the season. And who knows? Maybe the Vikings might draft a quarterback. Who knows? Maybe they'll draft a quarterback with their first pick. You know, maybe they'll get a high-profile name, as can St. Louis. So whoever those respective guys are, that individual will most likely be taking the field in game one against either one of those two teams. We also got Buffalo at Chicago. Buffalo should be in trouble. Actually, they are in trouble. In what looked like the Bills were going to be playing the Lions on Thanksgiving, that's not going to happen. It's going to be Chicago. How ironic. How ironic. And I'll get to that game. I'll get to that matchup in just a moment. We also got Washington on the road against Houston. What makes that game interesting is, will Houston have a quarterback as the number one overall pick? I'm kind of anxious to know that because I have no idea. I have no idea. I think whoever they take, that guy is most likely going to take the field for them week one against a Washington team that's going to have a new head coach. Keep in mind, they're going to have a new coach, Jay Gruden. RG3 should be back healthy, ready to go. They're also going to have DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson is going to be taking the field officially for the Washington Redskins this season. So that's going to be a big matchup. We also got a couple games that are going to take place at 4:25 Eastern. We got the Panthers at the Buccaneers. Carolina, they haven't really done much during the offseason. They've lost a few pieces, including wide receiver Steve Smith, who's now with Baltimore. Tampa Bay, they're going to have a new head coach in Lovie Smith. What makes this matchup interesting is the battle between the head coaches. Ron Rivera was the Chicago Bears defensive coordinator during a time when Lovie Smith was the head coach. He left in 2011 to coach the Carolina Panthers. Lovie Smith did not coach last year after getting let go by Chicago in 2012 after a 10-6 campaign but failure to make the playoffs. He's now going to be taking over Tampa Bay, a team where he got started at as an assistant coach back in 1996 when Tony Dungy was there. So he's not going to be taking over this team, and he's going to have a new quarterback. And so this matchup is going to be a little intriguing. Also, we got the 49ers and the Cowboys. Historically, it's always been a great matchup between these two teams, especially back in the 70s, even though Dallas won the majority of those matchups. And then, you know, jumping on to the 90s, when these two teams were beating each other to get to their Super Bowls and winning them. The last time these two teams played was back in 2011. It was a game in San Francisco. It was also at 4:25. It was a phenomenal finish. The Cowboys won the game, and they were the only team to win at Candlestick Park during the regular season. San Francisco actually lost two home games that entire year. Both were to NFC East opponents, the Cowboys in the regular season and the Giants in the NFC Championship game. These two teams will take the field, regardless of their head coaches, whatever you want to say about them, you know, expectations, things of that nature. So I'm looking forward to that. And at 8:30, we are going to have on NBC our first Sunday night game between Peyton Manning, Broncos at home, hosting his former team, the Indianapolis Colts, the team that beat the Broncos last year, the first team to beat the Broncos last year. Denver's going to be looking for a little bit of revenge, especially considering what that idiot owner Jim Irsay said about him and stuff like that. So I can't wait for that game. As a Broncos fan, the Colts should and will be the first team the Broncos are going to have to take their Super Bowl frustrations out on. And I hope they do, and I hope they do soundly. So that'll be on 8:30 on NBC, I'm sorry. Monday, September the 8th, we got a Monday night doubleheader. The first, my hometown team, the Lions, will be hosting the Giants at 7 o'clock on ESPN. That should be a good game. But I'm thinking revenge. Payback's going to be a B. Yeah, you heard it. You heard it straight from the words of Rocket. Payback. These two teams faced each other late last season. The Giants won in overtime. This was a game that eventually led to Jim Schwartz's firing, where fans were yelling at him. He turned around and started yelling at them back. You knew it was over for him after that game was over. And unfortunately, it was for him. It definitely was. And so, how about that? How about that? So that's the first of one Monday night matchup. The other Monday night matchup will take place between the Chargers and the Cardinals at 10:30 on ESPN. What makes this game intriguing is the Chargers are going to have a new offensive coordinator. The Cardinals, they're the team that nobody's really talking about because of how deep that division is. You got four teams with four good defenses. Even the Rams have a good defense, too. Their defense is solid. The Cardinals had a good defense last year at times throughout the season. But I think they still need to get their quarterback situation together. I'm not so sure. I know for sure that Carson Palmer is not the guy going forward. He's not. He's definitely not. But they still got Larry Fitzgerald, and Larry Fitzgerald had been rumored to be traded to teams like the Packers, possibly the Vikings, you know, a team that needs a wide receiver. So he is still in the Cardinals uniform, and if you're a Cardinals fan, you want it to stay that way. That should be a good game, though. I think offense is going to be big in that game because both teams can score on offense. I'll say this. Both teams are going to be able to do some things, and I'm looking forward to it. These are the week one matchups. How about that? That's going to start off the 2014 season. I know y'all looking forward to that. How about that? Now, I'm going to continue. We're going to move on to week two. Week two, we got a Thursday night game. I talked about this a little bit earlier. We got the Steelers and the Ravens. That game will be on CBS and the NFL Network. That's interesting. Both networks are going to be broadcasting this game, locally and nationally. That'll be interesting. We got some notable matchups that are going to take place. I'm not going to say all the games because, you know, I don't have a lot of time, but you can check these games out on the NFL Network. You can check out these upcoming matchups. Sunday, September 14th, we got interesting matchups, games that include we got the Lions at the Panthers, and I say that's an interesting game. First of all, when these two teams played each other back in 2011, that was a phenomenal game. The Lions were down 24-7 at halftime. They came back and won 49-35. Those two teams are teams that spent much of the season trying to find their identity. I think Carolina found more of their identity because their defense was playing so good down the stretch. As for Detroit, we're gonna see how good they really are this upcoming season. Will they get back to the playoffs? I think they will. I think Carolina might end up taking a step back. I don't think they're going to win 12 games because I just don't know what their offense is going to look like now. Who's going to be the guys that are going to really step up on that team? I'm not so sure as far as like the receivers and their tight ends. Seattle against San Diego, and that Detroit Carolina game is going to be at 1 o'clock p.m. on Fox. But Seattle and San Diego, that game is going to be on Fox at 4 o'clock. These two teams were once division rivals. You're going to have a good Seahawks defense against a good Chargers offense, meaning you're going to have, to me, the matchup, nobody's going to be talking about it, but you're going to see Richard Sherman go one-on-one with Keenan Allen. Now, Keenan Allen was a rookie last year, did phenomenal things, especially against Denver. I watched him in those two games at Mile High Stadium, not necessarily at Mile High Stadium, but in Denver. I saw those games, and Keenan Allen's got a good size to him. He's 6'3", about 215 pounds. He can run, he can jump, he can catch. He can seriously do some phenomenal things. So that's going to be a good matchup. Also, we are going to have the Texans at the Raiders. And now if you say, why would you say the Texans and Raiders? Think about this. You're going to have Matt Schaub going against his former team, the team that traded him to Oakland just a short while back, you know, a month or two ago. Matt Schaub is most likely going to be the Raiders' starting quarterback. The Raiders actually just traded Terrell Pryor yesterday to the Seahawks. So it looks like he's going to be the guy unless the Raiders draft another quarterback and they just start to develop him. But I do think Matt Schaub will be the starter in Oakland, and he's going to have to be because he's the veteran. But going up against his former team is going to be interesting. And again, who is the Texans going to take with that number one overall pick? Could it be Jadeveon Clowney? Could it be Johnny Manziel? Could it be Blake Bortles, Teddy Bridgewater, Khalil Mack? Who's it going to be? Who is it going to be? We're also going to have the Jets on the road against Green Bay, and I'm looking forward to that game because, you know, you're going to have Geno Smith, possibly, who, if he's the starter, making his first ever trip to Lambeau Field against Aaron Rodgers, who's been around for a long time. The Jets, over the years, they've done historically well at Green Bay. The last time these two teams played each other was back in back in 2010, and the Packers won by a score of 9-0. That was one of the few home losses that the Jets had that season. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that game. And, of course, week two, you got the Chiefs and the Broncos, the first of their two divisional matchups. Fortunately, these two teams didn't meet each other until halfway through the season last year. Now they're going to meet each other a lot earlier than expected. And San Francisco will be opening up their first home game at a new stadium Sunday night, week two, against the Chicago Bears. And Monday night, the matchup will be the Philadelphia Eagles against the Indianapolis Colts. I'm looking forward to that game. Definitely looking forward to that game. Week three, like I said, we're gonna keep this thing going. Week three, and this wasn't gonna be much of a matchup, but now it is because of what transpired, you know, these past few weeks. But we're gonna have the Redskins go one on one with the Philadelphia Eagles. Meaning, it's gonna be DeSean Jackson going one on one against the team that traded him, his former team, the team that drafted him back in 2009. This is it. This is gonna be big. You know, because he felt like he was betrayed a little bit, and rightfully so. So now he's going to have a chance to go back to Philadelphia, this time as a Redskin, and beat his former team. So I think that's going to be a little interest. The Thursday night matchup is going to be a divisional matchup in the NFC South between the Buccaneers and Falcons. Again, CBS and the NFL Network will both be broadcasting that game. Detroit hosting Green Bay will be another matchup that's going to take place that week. And the reason why that's a big matchup is, you know, these two teams played each other Thanksgiving at Ford Field last year. Detroit stuck Green Bay 40-10 in a game where Aaron Rodgers did not play. Green Bay was kind of beaten up in that game. But I'm looking forward to seeing how these two teams are going to look this year. Because I think Green Bay got lucky getting into the postseason, but I also think that Detroit is going to bounce back after a dismal season. The NFC North is going to be stronger this year. Definitely stronger. The Raiders and Patriots, and come on, let's be honest, you know, when you think Raiders and Patriots, you think of the Tuck Rule game, even though that was a long time ago, but still, that was the play that led the Patriots to their dynasty season. I don't care what anybody says. That's what happened. That's exactly what happened. But yeah. Yeah, that was the case. So we're going to see that matchup take place. We're also going to see the rematch of the Super Bowl in Week 2, Denver in Seattle at 4:25 on CBS. Denver's probably, some of their players are still probably having nightmares about this game, so we're going to see the Super Bowl matchup quick, early into the season. I like that. I was hoping that Seattle will open up the first matchup of the season at home against Denver. I just think that Denver will be a better matchup to start off the season than Green Bay. That's the way I look at it. Kansas City will be taking on Miami. That's going to be another intriguing matchup. And the Sunday night game will be Ben Roethlisberger going one-on-one against Cam Newton for the first time ever. Steelers and Panthers in Carolina, in Charlotte, 8:30, NBC. The Monday night game, Chicago against the New York Jets. You always have to profile the national televised games. You just have to profile them. Week four, we're going to see a phenomenal matchup between, well, first of all, the Thursday game is going to be the Giants and Redskins. You know, the NFC East is always going to be competitive. You don't know who's going to win until the end of the season. That might be the case again. the Sunday games, and it's not going to be a lot of Sunday games because that's where some teams are going to start having bye weeks, but one of the matchups is going to be the Eagles on the road against the 49ers. Chip Kelly's high-powered offense, now that they got Darren Sproles, they're going to have, you know, guys come back, Jason Avant, Jeremy Maclin, Riley Cooper, you know, just so many weapons. LeSean McCoy, of course, Brent Celek against that up-tempo, that physical 49ers defense. That's going to be a phenomenal matchup. That's going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal game. I'm looking forward to watching that. Carolina against Baltimore, meaning Steve Smith is going to be hosting his former team, co-hosting his former team alongside Flacco and Ray Rice and the rest of those defense. Well, I'm going to hold back on Ray Rice because we don't know if Ray Rice is going to be even allowed to play football at that time or if he's going to be even playing at all this upcoming season. I'm kind of anxious to see that game because the Ravens had lost so many pieces last year. Are they going to bounce back? Are they going to come back and compete in that division where right now, even though Marvin Lewis is still the head coach of the Bengals, you got to say Cincinnati is still the cream of the crop in the NFC, the AFC North. And of course, you got the Packers and Bears. You know, last year's game, Week 17, that was a phenomenal game. That was a phenomenal game, a phenomenal finish. That should be a good game. Buffalo against Houston. What makes that game interesting is Mario Williams, for the first time, will be going back to Houston, this time as a visiting player. Since being drafted by the Texans in 2006. He signed with the Bills as a free agent last year, and he's going to be playing against them for the first time in his career. And another matchup, the Sunday night game, we got the Saints and the Cowboys. Cowboys are going to be looking to get some revenge. The Saints have really had their number. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, the last time the Cowboys beat the Saints was back in 2009. They were the first team to beat the Saints after the Saints got out to an undefeated start. And so the Saints actually won their first 13 games, and they lost their last three, and they went on to win the Super Bowl. And in the Monday matchup, we're going to have the Patriots against the Chiefs. It looks on paper, it looks like that's going to be an interesting matchup. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Definitely, definitely. Well, we're going to run through more of these games, but we're going to take a quick break real fast. And this is what we're going to be talking about when we come back. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown here on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. The time is 8:40, and we're just going to pick up right where we left off. The 2014 NFL regular season has been announced. The schedule, who's going to be playing who and when officially. Jumping into week five, and the number one matchup I can think of right now, looking at the schedule, Alex Smith going back to San Francisco, this time as a starting quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. That game's going to be on CBS at 4:25 in the afternoon. That's going to be good. That's going to be a good one. That's going to be a good one. Jamaal Charles, who got injured in the playoff game against Indianapolis, he's expected to be back. You're going to have Dwayne Bowe. I think Kansas City lost a few pieces, but I still think they're going to be good, but I don't know if they're going to be as good as they were last year. But I do think that they could end up still being a playoff contender, but they're going to have a tough schedule, and this is going to be one of their toughest games throughout the season. Another matchup, and this is going to be on Thursday. You're going to have the Minnesota Vikings against the Green Bay Packers. You know, it's always going to be a divisional matchup. The Chicago Bears against the Carolina Panthers, meaning we're going to see Ron Rivera coaching against his former team once again. We're also going to have the Buffalo Bills against the Detroit Lions, a matchup that a lot of people thought, including the Bills organization themselves, take place on Thanksgiving. Nope. Sorry. And I'm kind of stunned because I'm thinking, well, last year Detroit played Green Bay on Thanksgiving, and every other year you always play a team, you know, from one conference to the next. Last year they played an NFC divisional opponent. This year they should be playing an AFC team, either Buffalo or Miami, but I guess not. I guess they decided to change things up a little bit. Okay. Whatever. You know, it is what it is. The Sunday night matchup we're going to see is Cincinnati at New England. And, you know, the Bengals were the first team to beat the Patriots last year. That's going to be a tough matchup for both teams, actually, especially Cincinnati having to go to Gillette Stadium. But I'm looking forward to watching it anyway. I'm looking forward to watching it. I think it's going to be a good one. I think it's going to be a really, really good game. The Ravens will be taking on the Colts, and that'll be a playoff rematch from 2 years ago. Andrew Luck, during his rookie season, his first career playoff game, was a tough loss at Baltimore. This is not the same Baltimore team, though, from that season. So I got to give the edge to Indy a little bit if I were to make a prediction. And Monday, we talked about this earlier. I talked about it a little bit. I previewed it a little bit earlier during the show. The game between the Seahawks and Redskins is going to take place Monday, October the 5th. Week five, in the nation's capital. In the nation's capital. Now, I don't know if Seattle's going to be as good as they were last year because they lost a lot of pieces, especially on defense. But I think Washington is going to be looking to find their identity because anytime you bring in a new head coach with a whole new system, you're wondering, well, what is this team going to look like, what they're going to do. Now, you're going to see DeSean Jackson up against, you know, Richard Sherman again. That's going to be an interesting matchup. You're going to have Pierre Garçon. You're going to have Albert Morris, you know. So I think Washington's offense should be a little bit better, but it should be a good one, though, nonetheless. So that's going to be a good matchup, and that's going to be in week five. Week six, I'm just going to cruise along a little bit. We're going to have the Colts and Texans. That's going to be an interesting matchup between those two teams. Just because of the division match. Now, these two teams had a game last year, which was a really good game down the stretch. So, looking forward to seeing that divisional matchup. Then Sunday, we've got games that include the Broncos and the Jets. Meaning Eric Decker, who is now a Jet, will be facing his former team he went to the Super Bowl with for the first time in his career. He signed a big contract with the Jets during the offseason, $31.5 million. He is going to be playing against his former team, regardless whoever his quarterback is going to be in that week, because we don't really know officially. Anything can happen. Anything can certainly happen. Another matchup I'm looking forward to watching that week is Cowboys and the Seahawks. These two teams played each other 2 seasons ago. The Seahawks won the matchup 27-10. Dez Bryant, Richard Sherman, it's going to be a big matchup.
But I'm looking forward to seeing what Dallas' defense is going to look like, because it could not have gotten any worse than it did last year. Yes, they don't have DeMarcus Ware no more, but what is their defense going to look like this year? And what is Seattle's offense going to look like now that they don't have Golden Tate anymore? Say what you want, but that's a big loss. That's a big loss for Seattle. He was their clutch receiver, making a lot of plays for them down the stretch. He's going to be doing that for my hometown team, Detroit, this time around, so I'm looking forward to that. And then with the Sunday night game, we got the Giants and the Eagles. I'm looking forward to that game because it's always a big matchup between those two teams. Was there a miracle at the Meadowlands this year? Miracle at the Meadowlands 3 or 4, whatever? And then the Monday night game is going to be the 49ers and the Rams, divisional, a tough divisional matchup. I think St. Louis is going to be a little bit better on defense than they were a year ago. And that might be trouble for San Francisco or Seattle. Two teams with offenses where they're not necessarily stellar, but they can still move the ball down the field a little bit and still do some things, especially running the football. Week 7, we got the Jets at the Patriots. What more do you need to know? The Sunday matchup, we got those Seahawks against those Rams. Again, I talk about tough defense and stuff. The Saints versus the Lions, that might be the best offensive matchup that week. And if you're the Lions, you're thinking revenge. Last time you faced the Saints was in the playoffs during the 2011 season. Wild card matchup on the road in New Orleans. You lost. You haven't faced them since. You haven't seen them since. I don't know what the Saints are really going to look like this year. I do know that they're still trying to work on the whole Jimmy Graham thing. I think they'll get that done eventually. But I think that I'm not so sure what the Saints offense is really going to look like, or even their defense for that matter. So, and I think both these two teams will be trying to kind of find themselves a little bit, you know, as the season progresses. We also got the Panthers against the Packers. That's going to be a good matchup. Cam Newton in his second career game faced this Green Bay team back in 2011 and almost beat them. So that's going to be a good matchup. The Chiefs and Chargers, that's going to be a good game. We got the 49ers. Well, actually, Cowboys and Giants, that's always going to be a big game. Another intriguing matchup will be the Cardinals against the Raiders. Carson Palmer will be going to Oakland and facing his old team, or one of his old two teams, one of the two teams he previously played for. That's going to be an interesting game. I can't wait to see that. I'm looking forward to it. And then the Sunday night game, and this could be a Super Bowl preview. 49ers, Broncos, in Denver. Enough said. Enough said. Enough said. Enough said. That should have been a Super Bowl matchup last year. And it almost was, too. It almost was. And then the Monday night game, we got the Texans on the road against the Steelers. I'm kind of anxious to see what both of those two teams are going to look like, especially Pittsburgh. You know, some of their veterans are starting to come of age a little bit. You have to wonder about the health of guys like Ben Roethlisberger, Troy Polamalu. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to still raise some interest. I think we're going to see some good quality football. I don't think we're going to see a lot of bad Monday night matchups this year. I really don't think so. Week 8, we got the Chargers and the Broncos in a playoff matchup that took place from last year's divisional round. Keenan Allen had a phenomenal game against Denver, especially the last two games he played against Denver, which were both in Denver. That's going to be a phenomenal matchup. Think about it. Keenan Allen versus Aqib Talib. Bingo. Put it down on paper. Take note. Get ready for it, because you know it's going to be big. Sunday, we're going to have Detroit and Atlanta. That's going to be one of the games in London. If you're the Falcons, you should be disappointed, because, you know, you don't know who they're going to be cheering for in Atlanta. They might be cheering for Megatron. I think they will be, too. I think there's going to be some there's going to be a lot of, you know, flags for Calvin Johnson and stuff like that. I think it's going to be big. I think it's going to be really, really big. Another matchup I think that's going to be intriguing is the Seahawks versus the Panthers, and what a lot of people projected as a possible NFC championship matchup until San Francisco kind of changed things up a little bit. These two teams played each other in week one last year, and at the time, you didn't really know what Carolina was going to look like. But they started to really come about halfway through the season. Now, this matchup is going to be much bigger than it was in last year's season opener. Chicago against New England, I think we're going to see something where we're going to see possibly a high-scoring game, because I think Chicago's offense has got some pieces. New England's defense, though, what is their defense going to look like? You got Darrell Revis. Who is Darrell Revis going to be guarding? Is he going to be guarding Brandon Marshall? Is he going to be guarding Alshon Jeffrey? He's going to have some options. So this is where the loss of Aqib Talib is going to hurt the Patriots possibly. Quite possibly. So be it. That, mark that game down if you really want to see an interesting offense or a quarterback wide receiver matchup. That's going to be a big one. And of course, you got to say this: the Sunday night game, Packers and Saints. You're always going to get good games between those two teams. The last few games that these two teams have faced off against each other have been good games. So this game will take place in the Superdome. As opposed to the usual Lambeau Field that this matchup has taken place at over the years. That game's going to be Sunday night, 8:30. And then the Monday night, Redskins Cowboys. Done deal. You already know what that means. I'm just going to cruise more. Week 9, the Thursday matchup, Saints and Panthers. We'll see what the Panthers look like. We'll see what the Saints look like. Sunday night, we got the Ravens and Steelers. I mean, what more do you need to know about that game? Broncos versus Patriots, that's going to be big. Raiders versus Seahawks. Raiders traded Terrell Pryor to Seattle yesterday, so Terrell Pryor, not that he's going to play against this former team unless they run some packages with him, but that's going to be a big matchup. Jets and Chiefs, that's going to be big. Eagles and Texans should be interesting. And then the Monday night game, the Colts against the Giants. That should be an interesting matchup, I would say. Week 10, you're going to see, well, the Browns and Bengals, that's going to be the Thursday night matchup. That game will be on the NFL Network. Sunday, you're going to see Dolphins and Lions, and you're going to see Louis Delmas come back to Detroit as a visitor this time. Kansas City versus Buffalo, these two teams beat each other last year. Phenomenal finish. That was a good game. I remember watching that game. I'm like, wow, that's a good game. That is a really good game. 49ers and the Saints, we saw some controversy go down last year when these two teams faced off against each other, Mob Brooks with Drew Brees or whatever. We're going to see this game happen once again at New Orleans in the Superdome. Steelers and Jets, we're going to see that happen again, so that's going to be interesting to see. Giants and Seahawks, the Giants got blown out of the water by Seattle last year. They're going to be looking for some revenge. Chicago versus Green Bay, that's the Sunday night matchup. And the Monday night matchup, Panthers-Eagles, two upcoming teams in the NFC. I think we're going to see a good offense versus defense matchup in that one. I think that's going to be a good one. Assuming that a lot of their guys stay healthy, I'm looking forward to that. Thursday in week 11, we're going to see the Bills and the Dolphins. That's going to be a Thursday night matchup. The Sunday games, we're going to see the Eagles and Packers, Seahawks and Chiefs, Falcons and Panthers, Bengals and Saints, Broncos and Rams, I'm sorry. Lions and Cardinals, the Beer Detroit Revenge. The Sunday night game, Patriots and Colts. And the Steelers and the Titans will be the Monday night game. Wow. Week 11, that's when things are really going to start jumping up, I think. I'm looking forward to that. Calvin Johnson versus Patrick Peterson in that Cardinals secondary. It was a good matchup last year. Calvin Johnson had a phenomenal game. Now we're going to see this game go down between these two teams. It's going to be big. It's going to really be jumping off, so I can't wait to see that game. Week 12, the Sunday night game, Chiefs and Raiders. You already know historically it's always a big-time matchup between those two teams. Week 12, Lions and Patriots, meaning we're going to see Calvin Johnson versus Darrell Revis again. You know, Darrell Revis was with Tampa Bay last year when he went up against Detroit. He didn't play the entire game because he was nursing a few injuries, but he is expected to be healthy this year. That's going to be a good game. But calm down the whole Super Bowl preview talk because I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but hey, I'm all for it if it does. Buccaneers at the Bears. Lovie Smith returning to Chicago, this time as a coach of Tampa Bay. Cardinals and Seahawks. Cardinals were the only team to win in Seattle last year, meaning they were the first and only team to beat Russell Wilson on his own home field. We're going to see the Rams and Chargers, Dolphins and Broncos, no Sean Marino coming back to Denver as a visitor, the Redskins versus the 49ers, and what was supposed to be a big matchup between the two young ace quarterbacks. It was more of a one-sided matchup, but I think it's going to be a lot more competitive this year. And Cowboys and Giants, Sunday night NBC, what more do you need to know? And the Rams versus the Saints will complete week 12. That will be the Monday night matchup. Week 13, We're going to see three Thanksgiving Day games. And it's funny because normally Chicago versus Detroit is always on Fox anytime it comes on a Sunday afternoon. This game's going to be on CBS. CBS broadcasting two NFC teams. Huh? They used to. If you go back, before 1994, CBS used to broadcast the NFC matchups. And at the time, all the AFC games were broadcasted on NBC. So I guess they're bringing back the old school flavor a little bit. The Eagles and Cowboys will be the Fox matchup. And then later on, Seahawks, 49ers, oh boy. All three of those games. Divisional matchups too. And none of these three teams like each other. Like across the board, bring it on. Bring it on. Patriots and Packers, I talked about that matchup earlier. Broncos and Chiefs, that's going to be a good matchup. Panthers at the Vikings, that was the game last year where Adrian Peterson did not participate in due to the loss of his son. My prayers are still with him even to this day. The Panthers won that game big, 35-10. I expect Adrian Peterson to come back and play and maybe even have a bounce-back season. Redskins and Colts, RG3 and Andrew Luck will face each other for the first time ever. And that Broncos-Chiefs game will be the Sunday night game. And then the Dolphins at the Jets will be the Monday night matchup. Week 14. And to find out more about these games, actually, because we're actually coming up to the end of our show. I'm just looking at the time. But you can check out the rest of these matchups on the NFL Network. And, you know, once again, we'll see you guys next time. This is Rocket Sports Breakdown on Blog Talk. You can catch yours truly at Last Track Comedy Club at Novi tomorrow night. Thank you for listening in. Catch you next time.